This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In 1967, he was drafted in the third round, pick number 55.
Second overall pick in the third round.
Crazy. Also played for the Browns from 1968 to 1980, and he was the first person to touch the football on Monday Night Football for the very first time.
And I saw him speak at the football stadium at Copley High School.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Very nice. It is always an honor and a pleasure to bring in a Browns legend. He is Don Cockcroft, and he is on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Hi, Don. How are you? It was great to see you Alumni Weekend as well.
Well, absolutely. That's always a great weekend, and good to see you. And I guess we got Jeff with us, right?
Yep, Jeff's sitting right over there talking about your days at Copley with him.
Yeah, well, I'm, you know, that's good. I hope anytime I go out and speak, and certainly when I was playing ball, and shortly thereafter, I was asked to speak a lot, and I always wanted to challenge young people, and hopefully the message was good.
And it was.
All right, Don, let me start here. You see the schedule going into the season before the first Monday night game. What went through your mind when you're like, whoa, we're going to play on Monday night?
Yeah, well, I think I was no different than probably 90, maybe 100% of my teammates back in that year. What was that, 70 or 72?
70.
Was 1970.
It's 1970. Anyway, the situation was, again, there wasn't, as I recall, there was not even any night games to speak of, and no Monday nights and no Thursday nights and et cetera like that. So you what the pro athlete does, as certainly I did, and I think many, is as you prepare for the week, you know, you prepare every day, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and it seems like every day got a little more intense and a little more because, hey, the game's coming up. And so you prepared yourself mentally to play Sunday afternoon. And, you know, that's part of pro football. That's part of being a successful pro football player. And then all of a sudden, they throw in a Monday night game. Give me a break. You know, I really feel most of us were pretty disgusted. I know I've heard several of my teammates share the same story. But so going into it, needless to say, it was not a pleasant thing for us because it just screwed up our routine. And, of course, when we got there and after a little bit was announced there was 85,000 people at the stadium, then I figured, okay, this will probably go on for a long time now.
Don, was it and obviously it was a strange thing. You knew they were trying to push the game, trying to grow the game, but you guys were kind of the guinea pigs of this because Art Modell said, yeah, and we'll host it. I can only imagine the attitude was just, what the heck are we doing here?
Yeah, it was, and then of course when the game starts, you know, and then you get yourself in a game mode, and that's where you focus and whatever. But now, obviously, looking back, it was like, what a tremendous honor. I think I told Andy that I checked this out. I had the opening kickoff. I had the first extra point, the first field goal in Monday Night Football. I had whoever kicked for New York had the first missed field goal, but I did miss a very short field goal, which was embarrassing. And and my last comment on that for myself as far as first is I hit a punt late in the game that was important, and I punted it very, very high, but it only went like 35 yards, and it came down on their 30-yard line, and it was so high that the receiver, forget his name, and there's guys standing there waiting, but he didn't call for fair catch, so he just let it hit. And it looked like it was going to go out of bounds because it hit about 6 inches from out of bounds, and I know this guy was thinking that's going out of bounds. And lo and behold, that sucker went straight down the field, and finally we got him on the 4-yard line. So that, to me, was the one. Maybe that God kicked that one. I didn't. I don't know. It was very important at that time. It was very important that we drive them back because Namath was coming back.
Don Cockcroft joining us, Browns legend. Of course, he's on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. I can't imagine that you played in many night games before that game. Was that the first? I don't know. Did Adam State play a lot of night games before that? Did you?
No. I don't. We may have. I don't remember. But as a pro, I really don't believe there was a night game prior to that. I might be wrong. But
I mean, I got to think that even high school games in the
they played
60s.
Some Saturday night games, didn't they, in the NFL back in the day?
Oh, that's right, Saturday night. Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just remember that one being like, or at least it was the first night game that whatever we played in. It was really disturbing, you know, going into that game. And then finally you get yourself, you're here to play football. And that night, it was amazing, the Monday night game. I mean, Joe Namath ended up with almost 500 yards passing, and Bill Nelson had like 250 yards passing, but they had some crucial penalties, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, Billy Andrews intercepts Joe Namath there late in the game, and, you know, the Browns go away, and we go away as winning the first Monday Night Football. That's cool.
Hey, Don, did you feel like Art sold you guys out a little bit as guinea pigs to play in that first game? And he didn't do you any favors knowing that you had to go to San Francisco the next week on a short week.
Yeah. Well, I can't remember yesterday many times, so I can't recall too much more other than how disturbed we were thinking we had to play. I suppose there was some of that. I mean, Art was always... I'm not going to say anything. Art and I never did get along very well, but
Anyway. Conversation's going to get great. You're going to be I'm telling you, you should be in the Hall of Fame, and after this conversation you'll be in the Hall of Fame if you want to spill your guts on some other stuff.
okay, go ahead.
No, Don, you know, it's funny, and looking back on your career too, and not only knowing that you played in that first Monday night game, but, you know, I always talk about kicker punters. That I don't see a reason why you wouldn't, especially because you would want a kicker punter because it gives you another guy on the roster.
Yeah, and with Kerr Vedvik, the guy from the Ravens who went to the Vikings and Jets now.
Don, are you surprised that there aren't more punter kickers in the NFL?
No, I'm not surprised at all because of the number of players. And what you just mentioned previously, for 9 years, and when I think you guys can answer this better than I don't know what the pro – you know, the player limit was 40-some players, something like that.
Yeah, and, it wasn't a ton.
I know, but so to be able to, thank you, Art Modell, to give you another player, you know, and that was big, you know, I think, to have another extra player, basically. And as I think we know, I was almost the last. I think there was one more kicker for L.A., in 1981 that punted and kicked, and that was the last of the double-duty kickers for any real purpose, you know.
Don, do you think a guy can get good enough at both? You know, I mentioned Vedvik. He was great with Baltimore. They got a draft choice when they traded him to Minnesota. Then he gets cut, and he goes to the Jets. He's been cut by the Jets now. Is it too much in this day and age to have to perfect two different things?
I don't know why it would be any different than it was back then. As far as you just focus on the game and forget the rest of it. And I shouldn't say I did. I took great pride in being able to do both. I just felt that was job security for me and loved to punt. I was a far better punter. I mean, I tell people, this is what's amazing as far as I'm concerned. You know, In college, I led the nation in punting my senior year at a 48-yard average. My four-year career at Adams State, don't ask me the elevation at Adams State in Alamos, Colorado, but my four-year average is 44-plus per yard. So, I mean, I was a punter, and I jokingly say this, and it was somewhat true, as I kept the suspense and the extra point all the way through college. I kicked the ball a mile, but, you know, could I get it through the uprights? And the crazy thing when you lead the nation, then you get to play in a couple all-star games, big college all-star, little Donnie Cockcroft, if you know what I mean. It was a big, unbelievable playing in a North-South Shrine game in Miami, Florida, and I kicked a couple good field goals. And that's when the scouts, I think, really began to look at me because I had a lot of success in that game. And, you know, the rest is kind of history. And I know you asked a question, and I forgot what that was, but if I didn't answer it, ask it again.
I think you got it, actually.
Okay, all right.
You were a straight-ahead kicker, and straight-ahead, I think Mark Mosley was the last one, if I recall correctly.
Yep, Mark, I think he was. Yeah, Mark actually kicked for the Browns,
yeah.
You know,
Matt Barr got hurt, right?
When Matt got hurt, he came in and kicked for the Browns, yeah.
Could there be another straight-ahead kicker, Don, or is that gone, and is the sidewinder now – I mean, has that shown it is a better way, or is it just guy's ability?
No. It's a better way because kicking straight on, and it'd take too long to really explain. But kicking straight on, you know, you got a square toe, so you're going straight at it. And if you turn your ankle ever so slightly, which I did too many times, you know, just in kicking the ball, you turn your ankle. Just think about it a little bit. The ball, for me, always went to the right, you know. And the soccer kicker is like punting the ball. He's extending his foot. And so there's no give or, you know, once they master the technique, man, no, there's no big errors there that you can make, at least in contact with the ball, unless you hit it maybe too low or too high or whatever. I mean, they still miss. We saw that yesterday, but. Anyway, no, soccer kicking, I will be really surprised if there's ever going to be another. No, I don't think there'll ever be another straight-on kicker in the NFL.
Don, I have one last question for you before we let you go. And as we look back at Monday Night Football and we celebrate the anniversary night with the Browns and Jets, and you played in that first game, did you have any idea that Howard Cosell would become the American icon of broadcasting that he became?
No, I thought he was a pain in the butt for a long time. You know, what a obnoxious voice. You know, I'm sorry, but Howard was Howard. And the more he was there, the longer he was there, the more I respected him. So, yeah.
Did you know him, though, before Monday Night Football? I mean, was he?
No, I believe I met him. I mean, he was the first time on Monday? Yeah, Don Cockcroft kicked for somewhere in Wyoming. And no, I was born in Wyoming, but I kicked for Adams State College, you know. But, no, it was – sorry there. Got lost a little bit, but
– Hey, Don,
no, that's awesome.
Bottom line, gentlemen, it was a tremendous honor as we look back, and I'm glad we were the first team to got – and I'm sure glad we won the game. And now the key is let's – hopefully they got humbled a little bit Sunday, and they're going to play better ball tonight.
Don, you know I love talking to you, and it's a pleasure just to call you a friend. So thank you so much, Don. And
thank you, Don.
And give your lovely bride a big hug there, too. Thanks, Don.
Will do. God bless. Thank you very much.
Right back at you.
Appreciate Don Carter, it, Don.
And by the way, he's got a tremendous book about the cardiac kids out there. And just Google it. You'll find it online. It's an encyclopedia of the 1980 Browns. It's really, really well done and well-researched, too, as well. So.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.